RTX is really soon, and we're in Los Angeles. We are going to be flying out tomorrow to Austin to bring you all of the biggest stuff from RTX 2018. We're going to preview some of that tonight, as well as talk about Ruby Amity Arena and cover two episodes of Camp Camp. It is a chock full episode of Rooster Teeth Reviews, and it starts right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
So I wanted to get the romance and the candy thing, because this, and it's also OG Mandy Moore.
You just wanted to hear this song. Look, just admit it.
I mean, who didn't like early 2000s pop, really?
I'm not saying I didn't.
Thank you.
I lived for that.
This is TRL generation. This is like every single, there's a new video today. I don't know who the artist is, but I'm going to record it on my VHS player.
It.
Exactly. Welcome to the AfterBuzz TV after show for Camp Cam, featured on Rooster Teeth Reviews. I'm one of your hosts, Mark B. Donica, joined by Stacey Shuttleworth.
Hey guys.
And Megan and Katie, already in Austin, so you can follow them for updates for their shenaniganry that they're doing already. We're going to be heading out tomorrow, and we're going to be covering first night. So let's get started. We're going to hit Camp Camp in a bit, but let's get started with a little bit of a preview of some of the stuff that we're most excited for RTX 2018. I've got the schedule in front of me. For those of you who are either joining us for the first time or haven't heard us talk about it, Friday at 2:30 p.m., that is our panel. It is titled Rooster Team Reviews, Welcome to Vail, and You, a live 4D show. We are going to be performing a live episode of Welcome to Vail, which we totally didn't finalize over the past couple of days.
No, we're on top of it.
But I'm really excited for it. Just because everything surrounding Welcome to Vail has been really cool, at least for me. And we're going to be releasing episode 3 soon, but I've been hitting some snags with my tech and editing all of that stuff. But it is very close to done. I will say that it is very close to done, and we'll announce that on our Twitter, ABTV Rooster Team. But Stacey, is there a panel? Is there somebody on the floor? What's some of the stuff that you're most excited for?
So there's a lot I'm excited for this mm-hmm. year. I think there's a lot of stuff that I'm going to be rushing around to try to get. So one of the things I'll start with is kind of more convention adjacent, I guess.
Okay.
So they're putting up a pop-up shop, The Coop.
Yes.
Which sounds awesome.
Did you see the newest announcement that they made this week?
About design. I saw some design stuff. Oh, Rooster Brew?
Rooster Brew.
Rooster Brew.
With Austin Brewing Company.
Yep.
Which is huge.
Yes.
And we're going to try to get some sort of a presence at the Coop and talk to whomever is there, because it's such a cool idea.
Mm-hmm. And the stuff that they're putting out is awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try not to lose myself there.
Barb's new French line. Very cool. Nice. I've been such a big fan of Jeff's summer stuff. It just sells out so fast. It's so mm-hmm. limited that it's nigh impossible to get a shirt. Especially us fans on the internet, we, especially the men, tend to be a little bit bigger. So the 2Xs tend to sell out pretty fast. But I'm excited for the Coop. I'm excited because this will be both of our first time being able to see Let's Play live.
Yes, I am super excited.
They've come to Los Angeles before. Those tickets sold out real fast.
Real fast.
But they're going to be doing it at the Austin Convention Center. So we're going to be running around, running from first night to Let's Play Live. But we saw the documentary about it, which was their first RT doc, and I'm excited to see what they bring to a live crowd. It's been successful. This is the, I think they're almost at double digits now.
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. Don't ask me.
They're coming pretty close to double digits on that. We're going to be talking to some folks from Bloodfest. There's the Always Open Mixer that's going to be happening. That's just going to be a sweet gathering of fans. But of course, the panels.
Yeah.
On the first day, we are going to be welcomed with Camp Camp and Ruby. And then there's also the animation panel, which a lot of people are saying do not miss.
All right.
Yeah, that's Friday night, 7 p.m. To 8:30. Wow. It looks like that's where Genlock is going to be. Mm-hmm. And with all of the recent casting announcements that there's been,
you want to be there.
I wonder who will, if any of them show up.
I mean, yeah. If anyone from that list shows up, it'd be huge.
If David Tennant...
Don't toy with my heart.
...shows up to RTX. Look, if we can do, like, a lot... Well, it's at night, so yeah. it seems like fly him in, do the panel... Fly him out real quick, real easy. Not enough chance for press to get any damn interviews. I wanted to talk to him about Scrooge McDuck, but that's just me. Really excited for all of those. It's really unfortunate that we are at the same time as a bunch of other panels yes. that we would want to see. The RT Rainbow panel, Project Improviser, Achievement Hunter, Women of Rooster Teeth mm-hmm. starts right in the middle of ours. But we have the benefit of being able to talk to a lot of folks from Rooster Teeth and Let's Play family, things like that. We have a lot of interviews scheduled. We're going to try to hit the floor and get a whole bunch of extra stuff on top of that. Mm-hmm. And I'm real upset. Because Michael Hadwin, the one of the heads of RT Games, lied to my face last year. He said that there would be no more Ruby... They're not focusing on Ruby Grim Eclipse DLC. Right. But we found out this week that there's gonna be some. And I'm upset because I wanted it. Anyway,
of the poker face.
We're getting it. Yeah, yeah. He's real good at it. I don't know, man. Just Dabbit says, if Michael B. Jordan came, I'd faint. Probably. Same.
Yep.
There's so much good stuff. Malachroma says, if I'm going to be in the same room as David Tennant, I will take a photo to share with my mom and then I will die.
Fair. All right. That is a valid response.
We'll probably get live updates to talk about during our panel. Luckily, there's not too many, like the RTAA panel starts halfway in the middle of ours, but we don't necessarily cover RTAAs on here. We cover the big story ones. No offense to RTAAs, but I'm happy that we're earlier on, because then that'll allow us to do our own thing and then report the next week about everything that happened at RTX.
Right.
I'm excited about all of the booths. It's a really well-run con.
You know what? Yeah, and RTX last year, that was my first time at an RTX, and I was blown away by the floor. So I am so excited to get back out on the floor. That's one of my favorite parts of any convention.
Yeah.
And this floor was so special, just in the way that it was laid out. And it was so specialized, which I think was something that was new for me. So having all of that, like, complete just... soaking in that culture all in one place.
And it's interesting, this year they decided to go with Mixer as their main streaming service instead of Twitch, but that's Microsoft. They have a relationship because of Red versus Blue. That all makes sense. It'll be a lot harder to just kind of promote our Twitch stuff on Mixer, but we have friends that use Mixer, the Casting for Two. Why am I blanking? I feel terrible. I feel constantly calibrating, which are our friends that we see like once a year. It'll be nice to see them again, maybe do some stuff there. But I'm excited. I'm interviewing some people that have stuff that we don't necessarily talk about on the show, and in an effort to sort of bridge the gap between our show Inventory Full and our channel Inventory Full, and here, and I'm excited to get to talk to Greg Miller, Elise Willems, James Willems, Bruce Green, Trevor Collins, who runs Achievement Hunter right now. I'm really excited to talk to him. But we're going to post a lot of our favorite people that we are going to be in. Well, all of them are our favorite people. And if we haven't met them yet, they're going to be our favorite people. So we will be calling for questions from you to help fuel even more of our experience. We're going to be bringing you live updates from RTX. Make sure you follow us at ABTV Rooster. Or I'm sorry. Make sure you follow us at The Rooster Team, because we just changed our Twitter account. And then follow us individually for our own stuff as well. We'll circle back on those at the end of the show. Now, really quickly, before we get to Camp, I wanted to talk about Ruby Amity Arena. I got into the beta this past week.
Lucky.
It's a very, yeah. It's a mobile game that's sort of like a card battler. I don't usually play that style of action game, but it's like a tower offense where you get various Ruby characters. You get to upgrade them using you earn Lien and crystals for various matches, and I had a ball. A lot of the time with competitive online, just in general, it's really hard for me to focus when I'm losing that bad, but because it takes place in a world that I'm such a big fan of, It's easier, because then I'm like, I'm going to send Nora or Yatsuhashi and I'm going to beat the crap out of you. And it gives you a lot more little moments than a lot of moments in between. I did have some times where I felt like the match was over kind of just as it was starting. Like, my strategy failed against these folks. And I'm like, eh, okay, I won't be able to bring this one back. But I'll keep playing. Mm-hmm. Whatever. There was a time where I thought I had lost it. And then, of all sudden, I captured one of their towers. I was like, wait, no, I'm still in it.
Renewed vigor.
renewed vim and vigor. If you want to watch that entire stream, head on over to twitch.tv/inventoryfullpt. It was rather lengthy, but you get a lot of raw reaction to somebody who's playing it for the first time. And we're going to be talking to them more at RTX as well. They've invited us to their booth, and I would love to interview them and get a little bit more on what the future, or even the present and future of the game is going to be. So make sure you sign up for updates at rubyamityarena.com. It was so much fun. And I think even if you're not that, like, I'm not that well-versed in games like that, but I was having a good time. And I think because it's Ruby, you will too, even if you're not. Maybe you'll get into the next one.
I know. I got like 10 minutes of hands-on at Anime Expo, and then they won't give me any more. That's it.
Maybe.
It's until release.
Maybe when we interview them, we could be like, hey, can we get one more access code?
You want to slide me in there? Let me play? I just want to play, please.
Yeah. Hold on. Let's see. Brain. But there's a lot of... Gray Haddock was in My Hero this season. Not too surprising. Oh, that was another thing. One of my favorite anime review podcasts is back. Fan Service recently relaunched on Crunchyroll.
Yes.
They haven't missed a beat. They're not talking about the show or specific events on the show before it launched on Crunchyroll, but the show hasn't really changed.
Yeah, still in the same spirit of things.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's, before we get to Camp, I just want to say, thank you to all of the folks that watch our show, and we just want to let you know that our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, realities, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans, but we need your help. We are asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that is tailor-made for you, and you will help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't you worry, because they are optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel right here, and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we will thank you on air. But for now, thanks for being the best fans and helping us be the ESPN of TV talk. If you're not subscribed to the animation channel, that's a little silly. We've got our Attack on Titan shows back with Katie and Megan and Alexis and a new host whose name I'm forgetting. We have our general anime show. They're currently reviewing My Hero Academia. There's a South Park show that has discussion points about various parts of the show. Subscribe. You won't be sorry. We love you. Let's move on. Camp, episode 8. The Fish Effer episode.
We should have expected this.
This is such a meta episode because written by friend of the show Leela Hav and her husband Oren, and it is ostensibly an episode about fan fiction written by a fan fiction writer about a character who is into fan fiction.
It's kind of beautiful.
What was your first reaction when you found out what the show was about?
Man, I mean, when we started leaning into that fan fiction, I was like, oh, yeah. Got it. It was very clear that was written by someone who has a lengthy history with fan fiction.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful.
It's... and just as a side note, if you want to hear more from Lee about fan fiction, she did an episode of a podcast called Obsessed with Joseph Scrimshaw that I recently did about wrestling television, but she did it on fan fiction. And it's really interesting to see how Joseph picks her brain about fan fiction and how she feels about it. And it really helped contextualize this episode a little bit more. And I would highly, highly recommend it. Did you ever think throughout this episode that this was fan fiction?
100%.
Okay.
I was convinced that this was just like she had dozed off and here we went off into La La Land.
So like she passed out writing the fan fiction on the coast. Like,
and it just continued on.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And then it turned out so much better than that.
Yeah, so I had a moment where I was like, it's so weird how Camp has trained me to be like, oh no, this is a fantasy. this is real. No way, this is a fantasy. Because like there were a lot there the dialogue it was and it was the moment where or the moments leading up to and where Quartermaster is taking his son back out into the scene. He's like, unhand him, we're in love. Where I was like, wait a minute, this is fake.
Hold on.
And then there was something that Quartermaster said where I was like, or no, actually it was the kiss. The kiss made me go, oh no, this is entirely real. This isn't a fantasy. This is legitimate.
The kiss?
Yes.
Like, did you think it would be more like embellished or like...
No.
Oh, the aftermath of the
kiss. Well, everything.
Okay.
Like just... If I'm remembering correctly, it was actually the kiss that made me go, wait a minute, is this real? Because they do... We don't know what the quartermaster is. And
we don't have enough time to speculate.
He had sex with a fish and had a fish boy. And
also
and
not surprising.
Also not surprising. Nope, all fish. And the quartermaster's sordid past is what ultimately made me go, oh no, this is all real. I'll wait till we get to episode 9 to talk about that. But what were some highlights for this? Who was your favorite in this episode?
Nikki with her shining eyes. Gross.
I didn't learn how he poops.
Just the best.
Dinos cry tears with ships. That's a name I don't recognize. Welcome to the show. I suspected Gwen did fanfic, but I saw the episode and I was like, whoa.
Oh man, yeah. No.
And they loved the quartermaster in this episode.
Heck, yeah.
And Malachroma, me, a fanfiction writer, watching this episode, I came out to have a good time and I am feeling personally attacked right now. Don't blame you.
Yeah.
This was a lot to take in. And to be perfectly honest, it took me a minute to really how to put this to really like fall into it. Mm-hmm. Like it took me a second go to really fall back into the, oh, this is just crazy camp. And I don't know, man. Now this brings up the question of what other children. Types of mixed children.
I kind of feel like just scattered around this forest and around the lake. There's, don't ask. Just don't ask.
This could be a reason. Well, no, we have the reason for Blinky from The Simpsons. But if the fish had three eyes like Blinky, that would be one thing. Oh boy. I don't know, man. Just dab it. Not going to do it. Max and Gwen's relationship growing was the best part for me. I'm going to talk about that when we talk a little bit more about 9, because there's been a lot of Max growth this season. A lot where they're not... Nobody's taking his shit. And I'm excited for it. Cam Griffin has a very important question. What was Gwen writing fanfic of? If it was an original work, it wouldn't have been fanfic, right? So, like, an anime?
This is fair. Yeah, what's the original source? Oh, I don't want to know.
Well, is this just the 50 Shades of Grey version of Shape of Water?
I guess, okay, so yeah, can we assume that Shape of Water exists in this universe, and she saw it and was just real into it and had to go home and write fanfic?
Well, we've talked to... They mentioned Time Traveling Doctor...
Mm-hmm.
So at least some version of Shape of Water came out under like a different name, but this is the version of it. And, creepy, just creepy, like very well. Okay. Listen,
how do you feel about fanfic?
Not necessarily fanfic. I think this might've been my thing with it. I thought I knew Gwen. You know, like, I knew fanfic and shipping and all of that stuff is a very, I'm still kind of like dipping my toe in the lake, hopefully not finding,
you want the fish monster to come rising out of it?
God, no, I'd run away yelping like Max coming home from Spooky Island. But it was just, it took me a while to be like, oh, this is a version, this is... part of this character that is very surprising that I wasn't expecting that came out of nowhere. But then the reveal at the end. But then the reveal at the end of like, I'm fine. It's not you. It's me. I'm busy. I've got stuff to do. That's where I was like, okay. I guess it was similar to Max in his regard of like, what? This isn't you. You'd be shouting at like what? And I was hoisted upon my own petard as well. But I don't know, man.
So her change in behavior, not the fanfic stuff.
Yes, not the fanfic stuff. Okay,
because that is par for course with Gwen, I feel like.
I'm so excited to talk to Lee about, and that's Lee Eddy, not Lee LaHave, though I think Megan is talking to Lee over the weekend, but I get to interview Lee Eddy, just about the cutting room floor of this episode.
Oh man.
Jazz41173 says, I love when Gwen was writing and she was trying to come up with another word for his anatomy, and then she said his dick. And I totally agree. Like that very much, very much Gwen.
Yes. And also if you've ever read fanfiction.
It's just it's bad.
That's also par for course.
It's the difference between like fanfiction and just pure smut is people trying to be like, no, I will use a better word.
Flowery language. Words. You hide it in flowery language and everything is more elevated.
Stacey, I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. You're an English major. Mm-hmm. And you're talking like you have a little bit of experience in this field. Do you have any experience in this field?
Why, Mark?
I don't mean like fish fucker level, but I mean, just in general, fish fucker level. Every video game has either a water level or a fish fucker level. But I just mean in terms of fan fiction in general. Because, like, Cam Griffin brings up a very important point. We write Ruby fan fiction in the form of Welcome to Vale. But do you have any experience in this field?
I have a lot of experience in this field.
Recent or...
So as a writer, not as recent.
Okay.
I've kind of passed that phase. Mm-hmm. Mostly I'm just writing in general. but man, back in the day.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And, boy. Let's see. I'm noticing so many new people in the chat, and I want to thank you. Maybe it's just because I'm too busy.
Oh no.
Yeah, I know. That's our next shirt on tpublic.com/theroosterteam, fish fucker level. That's me.
Yes, I'm gonna wear that around proudly.
Wait, can we get away with that? Anyway,
well,
Nicholas Brennan just got here to see Stacey admit to writing fanfic. Good stuff. But and then they boned.
Also a great moment.
Great moment.
Because look, it's not easy.
No, it's not.
You know what? Take the easy way out when you can.
and as we all know from Rocky, there's no easy way out. But this, I like where we ended up on this. We don't know what other cursed children the quartermaster has. Gwen seemingly back to normal, maybe made better from the experience. We won't necessarily know, but I really want to talk about episode 9. And mostly we're kind of speeding through these because this weekend we have an opportunity to talk to a lot of the people directly associated with these two episodes. So we're going to hit basic thoughts, but then we'll be able to get from Lee with an IGH and Lee with a double E their direct thoughts on these episodes. So please make sure to follow us here. And if you're not subscribed to this channel, subscribe to this channel and follow us at The Rooster Team on Twitter. But I want to get... Actually, I do want to talk about episode 9, but we did have camp activities. So I want to talk about them really quick. If you remember, one of them was we were trying to make a Rooster Team Summer Social dance mix playlist on Spotify, which I was going to tweet the link out to, but realized I'm the only one that can add tracks to it, so people just tweeted me tracks. Or Two Truths and a Lie. Now, looking at the clock, we have a little bit of time for Two Truths and a Lie, but I'm going to go through these songs really quick. Cam Griffin suggests Time Warp from Rocky Horror. That
is a classic.
That's like high school, because I couldn't get that at my school. The Promise by When in Rome. One Step Beyond by Madness, Cotton Eye Joe by Rednecks, and I Am Not Alone by Steam Power Giraffe. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm a fan of a couple of robotic automatons, such as the Steam Power Giraffe, but they weren't around when you were... Or maybe they're just adding it to our list as a new song. That is a Two Truths and a Lie. John Barber 99 says the Cha-Cha Slide. That's... Ooh. Caitlin Geddes, Vanessa Hudgens, Sneaker Night. Woof. And then we had another one that was a direct response to this. Disorder by Joy Division, Johnny B. Good for Marty McFly and the Starlighters. I Write Sins, Not Tragedies. Yeah. Heck yeah. Man. Get Down Tonight by the Casey and the Sunshine Band, Summertime by Will Smith, or The Man by the Killers. Is that too? Anyway. Let's play a really quick couple of rounds of Two Truths and a Lie. Let's see if anybody submitted one that didn't submit a song. Jester's Chessboard, who's a wonderful artist and somebody who draws stuff for us pretty frequently. Let's try to figure these out. My childhood fear of sharks came from the movie Deep Blue Sea. Last RTX, I was too shy to talk to you guys. Watched the Little Witch Academia OVA in sub, Spanish and English dub. These are kind of top of the line, top level. But why are we even doing this if they're not in chat? Anyway, I don't think... No, they're not in chat. Ourselves. What are we doing? Oh, we want to thank everybody for submitting Two Truths and a Lie. Maybe we can do it a little bit better once we have everybody in chat here. But we thank everybody for submitting. What? Oh, Cam. Well, actually, Cam's in chat, so we'll do his. One, my girlfriend and I met because a joke I made got tweeted out and resulted in my local RT community name being dropped on the RT podcast as well as in an RTAA. Two, I was actually going to be on an episode of Legends of the Hidden Temple, but I missed my chance. We were already late, then traffic kept slowing us down. We actually made it to the studio, but they wouldn't let us in once shooting began. And three, my friend and I once competed in a cosplay skit contest at an anime convention. We did a skit based on Five Nights at Freddy's, and I played the marionette. We won the grand prize. Thank you, Steve. I'm going to say the lie is the... I'm going to say that the lie is Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yeah, they're all so detailed. Yeah.
That's how you do it.
I know. I'm doing two or three. I think I'm with you on the Legends of the Hidden Temple one.
The three one is so specific.
Right,
though,
right.
It does just say an anime convention. It doesn't at a specific anime convention. You could have totally fooled us by putting that. And the marionette. Why would you be the marionette? The marionette's gangly. You're not gangly, Cam. Okay. I'm going to say that... So, two.
I'm going two.
We're saying that your Legends of the Hidden Temple is the lie. Cam, who is live in chat, and you can join us live in chat because we're live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on AfterBuzz TV Animation. Let's see what our result is. Cam? Radio silence? What's the best thing about radio? Being quiet. It's the absolute best thing. So while we're waiting for that, I want to say that we're not going to be doing camp activities this week because it is RTX. I might think of something that we can talk about on the panel, and we'll go from there. Two is the lie.
All right.
I didn't think you lived in Florida at all. I'm learning a lot about our listeners. Great, we got it, nailed it. Thank you. Boom, and we did that for the Cameron Campbell, the Camp Campbell camper.
Nailed it.
All right. So let's talk. Email updates about RTX are being blasted into my thing. All right, let's talk about episode 9.
So you said that about 10 minutes ago, and I just realized why episode 9.
Son of a bitch!
Episode. So if you noticed me just staring Slackjawed for like a solid minute.
9!
That's why.
Episode 9!
And I didn't even connect it until you said it. And it just kind of blew my mind for Stacey, a minute.
We're friends.
And I feel really
Stacey,
slow.
We're friends. And I mean this as a friend. Fuck you. Anyway, let's... Son of a bitch. All right, so this episode, the campers are various degrees of malnourished and eating old sandwiches.
And juice.
But Dolph, rosy attitude about everything. And it's one of my things that made me want a Dolph episode much like this, where it wasn't a Nazi joke, and we got to know him as a person and the type of person as he is. He and Max end up running a candy racket, and Max openly admits, I'm going to use you as the fall guy. And despite that, Dolph just wanted a friend. What did you take away from this episode?
And Dolph was so open and trusting in this. And we know Max. Like, we know what to expect from Max. So, like, as soon as Max sidles up to him, you're like, oh, boy. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. How is it? Like, but we don't know Dolph that well. So, it's like, all right, how is he going to react to this?
Yeah.
Well, we had an interesting answer, I think.
Yes, we did. As, it already went by. Oh, there it is. Nicholas Brennan mentioned the Tide Pod dessert. Great. Modern kids. Dab. Oh. Anyway. oh, God. Space Kid was a highlight of this episode, too, even though he just had one line.
Yes.
Are you going to eat that?
He was going to eat a shoe. That tells me that he's eaten a shoe before.
And has no problem with it.
None whatsoever.
But, like, we were all nerfed in that moment, right? Like, the face. Like, the excuse me, what?
Malachroma. Dolph is a cinnamon roll with a very unfortunately Hitler-y package. True. Very true.
It appears to be that way.
Yeah, but we learned a little bit about his family. Like, we found out that he was born in Germany, and his father is, like, red-blooded American, so it's his mother's side. His grandfather owns a candy shop. And we get Cameron Campbell back in this episode, confirmed that he wasn't picked up by the FBI.
Yep, just hiding out with the bears.
And talking to bears, and I don't, like, look, Willingham has a lot to deal with right now. He's a new dad. And you're bringing him in to be a bearman. I'm fine with that. That's absolutely fine.
Especially with that outfit.
Yeah. And so this episode, a lot more than the next episode, which we won't be talking about for a couple of weeks. But this episode brings a lot of Max under a microscope just as a shitty person. Mm-hmm. And really kind of being the only overarching story that we kind of have is people not letting Max get away with it, despite how he feels.
Right.
I think the setup of episode one, where he saves the camp, it's just him. Nobody else does it. He somehow found all of those steel chairs, those vegetables, that whatever. Technically, if he found there were rotten tomatoes, so never mind. But if he found food stores and depleted them in order to save the camp, here we are in episode 9, where some of the where we're running low on food. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's Max is not. I don't think we're gonna have a happy ending with Max at the end of the season.
No, the pace that we're going and the place that he's in. So we had kind of like a hopeful start for Max where he was starting to like, openly care about the camp a little bit. Doesn't excuse his shitty behavior.
No.
And now that he's a little more open and everyone is seeing this open side of it, I think, people are not afraid to call him out on this anymore. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's going to put him in a pretty bad place probably.
And him... admitting to himself or proclaiming as an aside that he runs this camp was such a like it's a comedy line where you're like yeah, because he's a little shit, but like going into the next few episodes, especially last episode where Gwen reads him the riot act, is like whatever, I don't care, whatever. Well, you should care. Mm-hmm. And then this one where he's just. He tries to do the right... He thinks he does the right thing, but it's sort of like, to use a religious allegory, like, you're on your deathbed and you're like, confessing all of your sins just to be like, no, I want to go to heaven. So it's... Right. It's he's not... He's still learning compassion.
Yeah, he's never needed it before. And he's probably never been shown much of it before. in a lot of ways. I don't know. It's interesting that that whole run this camp, that's been like his thing, right? Like that's his, what he clings to. He's in. He runs the camp.
It's what he's been wanting going back to season one with Cool Kids. You know, he wanted to take over the camp once the adults were gone. Cam teaches him the hard lesson of like, eh, this is just a phase. You'll get over it. Mm-hmm. And he never really shakes that. Please Clap brings up a real sad option for season finale. I think Mac's parents are going to come to pick him up, and he's not going to want to go. Yeah. I wonder if we will see Max's parents.
Yeah, I mean, after we've skirted it from Family Day, now, I mean, I feel like eventually we're going to have to reconcile those two worlds, right? Mm-hmm. Especially those two sides of Max, now that he's had a chance to, I mean, essentially start to grow into someone completely different at camp.
Yeah.
And how that's now going to translate to going back home.
Now, I think one of the things that may happen by the end of the season is that Camp Campbell may go down for a little bit, because they're running out of food, or they're further just spreading thin what food they do have. We don't know what point of the summer we're at, and like with the FBI involved, mm-hmm. and however much money they raised in episode one, how much longer will that keep them open? I wonder if we'll have to deal with a closure, but I wonder what the next step would be.
Right, where do we go once? Yeah.
It seems like a logical conclusion that David's wide-eyed, and we saw it recently, David's wide-eyed admiration of Cam Campbell is fading. You know, he's, if not completely gone at this point, and he's still living in the shadow of Cam by operating that camp. And what happens now, what happens after, like, David's essentially now not getting paid. So mm-hmm. I think we're going to have a cartoony reason as to him coming into a lot of money, and he buys the property, renovates it, and it's a completely different name. But that seems like endgame to me.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I agree that I think it's going to still take place in the same, 'cause David loves the area.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not the legacy of the camp anymore.
Maybe they do. It ends up being like a Viking funeral of the camp. Everything gets destroyed, and I see a scenario. And if I get this wrong, Rooster Teeth send me a check. Or if I get this right, Rooster Teeth send me a check. So we get to the point where, for some one way reason or another, Campbell gets his way, and David is now the owner of the camp. His name is on the camp. One reason or another, via accident, via this, via that, the Sleepy Peak goes off, whatever, glasses the earth, whatever. Mm. And then the insurance money can refurbish the cinder what it was, or rather, all of the kids leave, and we get a advertisement for a camp. Everybody gets something, and this is like the year time skip, where mm-hmm. we get the thing of the camp. Everybody comes back next year, and it's like all new facilities. Or rather, it looks exactly the same.
I feel like that's more likely. Yeah. Like, realistically.
It looks exactly the same, but it's better facilities. It's better this, better that.
Little upgrades.
And you think, oh, it's going to be this big thing, but ultimately, nah. It's exactly what we want. It's the tents. It's the log cabins. Mm. It's the quartermaster. It's all of this. But
you just wrote fan fiction.
Yeah, I guess I did. I'm available. I'm coming to Austin this week. If there's any time for an interview, a job interview, I'd be very interested. Anyway, that got real. CutiePie 120048 says, "What if Max's parents help keep the camp open, but he has to obey them completely?" I don't necessarily see that happening. It's a good idea, but I don't think Max's parents care enough.
Yeah, I don't know that their relationship works that way. From the very little that we've got about Max's parents, it seems more that they are just completely negligent. Mm-hmm. Not that they want him to behave a certain way or do specific things for them.
Agreed. I think one of the things that in that fanfic scenario that I determined, that the only reason why he would go back to that same camp is his parents see a flyer for a camp and go, oh, fuck it, we'll do another one.
There you go.
Yeah, there, we'll send you to this one now.
Off you go.
The other one burned down, right? We'll send you to this one. And it's just out of not caring, but Max knows exactly where he's going.
Right. Well, yeah, and that brings up kind of an interesting scenario because Max is a child. He doesn't have control over that situation.
No.
So does he bring that kind of manipulative tendency that he's picked up and kind of fine-tuned at camp and make that work for him at home?
I wonder.
And is that how we justify him getting back to the camp?
Cam Griffin brings up a very, very interesting point, but it is possible that Max is secretly rich.
Yeah.
And we've seen negligent parents as a trope for cartoons. It worked with what was the rich kid from Fairly Odd Parents who ended up getting Juan Decimo as his fairy. But Jazz for 1173. But Mark, then they will tell you that you're overqualified for the position. Sure, it's just nice to be appreciated. But I don't know. Like, that seems so... It seems like we're getting to endgame. Mm-hmm. Like, not... Because if they're trying to shut down... They're running out of food. They're trying to shut... Cam's trying to get it shut down. I don't know where we would go from there. It's such a nice ending to have an understanding. The camp seems like it's okay. Maybe we do a Boruto version of Camp Camp where it's like the next generation or Max is the counselor. I don't know. There's a lot of things.
Oh, man.
Issa's co-directing. I think it could go a lot of different directions. Remy bucks aplenty. Thank you. Thank you very much. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. What do we want? What do we want?
I want happy things.
I want happy things too. and Dolph coming to his own at the end of episode 9 and just being like, yeah, I want friends, but not like you. I kind of wish that there were more people around to just so that Dolph could get that nod from everybody of like, mm-hmm. that was cool.
Good for you.
But at the same time, I think it's very much in the nature of the Camp Campbell kids to be like, whatever, you're still a nerd.
Also true. Glance right off.
So we've got 3 episodes left, a 22-minute episode left of those 3. And we're going to be seeing... So last year at RTX, they showed us the new episode and then the intro. Oh, God. They showed us the intro of the Quarter Sister episode. So I believe it's going to be something similar where we're going to see a preview of, at that point, episode 11. Mm-hmm. We're almost done.
We are.
It's really unfortunate, but we're getting our boy Nomad back.
We are.
That was announced recently. August 17th, we're going to be getting the return of the Nomad.
So close.
But I think, let me look at the dates here. 10, 11, 12. Interesting. The Camp Campbell finale is going to be on the day that Nomad comes back. Unless they double air.
Right.
Presumably. The past 2 seasons have been 12 episodes. We presume that the Camp Camp is going to be 12 episodes. Oh, wait, no. This past week was episode 10. No, it's the week after. My math is bad. So we'll be seeing the penultimate episode and a preview of the finale.
We're so close.
Oh, my God. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah, so, gosh. We've watched things slide, so how quickly are they going to turn now?
We have 33 minutes left of Camp Camp Season 3.
That's so sad.
I don't want it. But we're getting our boy Nomad back. So we're going to be talking to a lot of our friends at RTX. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, because we are going to be calling for you for questions. I think tomorrow, when we land tomorrow, we'll tweet out a little bit more of who we have. We're going to be doing most of our main interviews on Saturday with a couple on Sunday. And then we'll be back next week. I think next week we might be talking about the Red versus Blue finale. But we're going to figure out a way to do just like an RTX wrap-up episode where we can talk about some of our favorite stuff. And in case you missed anything, link you to that where it ends up. But make sure you follow us here on AfterBuzz TV Animation, because, oh boy, oh boy, we're going to be putting some things up here. Oh boy. But until RTX, which is this weekend, Stacey.
AKA tomorrow.
Tomorrow. God, we have an early flight. Where can the folks follow you? And what are, the last thing that you're most excited for the weekend?
Man, you can follow me at Stacey Shuttles. I'll probably be screaming about lots of things on the floor, which I'm really excited about a lot of the animation stuff. Mm-hmm. I really like Rooster Teeth's animation.
And whatever we may be getting at the Overstuffed animation panel.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I wonder. You can find me on Twitter at Mark Budonica. Support us at tpublic.com/TheRoosterTeam. Our Twitter is TheRoosterTeam. A new episode of Welcome to Vail will be coming out, I'll say, before our panel on Friday. And we'll be putting that on our YouTube. And we actually did just start a SoundCloud, where if you are just an audio type of person, you'll be able to listen to us on audio for that. And we'll tweet that out as well. But, oh dear God, we're excited. We're a little freaked out because this is going to be a very busy weekend, but we're going to have a lot of fun.
Yes.
We hope to see you at our panel Friday at 2:30 at RTX. We'll see you in Austin, everybody.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Gross.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.